I want to read just a few verses of scripture this morning from the book of Habakkuk. You'll find Habakkuk, it's a small book in the Old Testament. It's among the minor prophets. You get Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. There's only like three chapters of Habakkuk. You know, the Bible not only provides us instruction, but also gives us examples of comfort. I thought of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, how that there are people who have had similar problems and difficulties, just like we're having right now. And the Bible gives us not just instruction on how to deal with those problems, but gives us examples. There are other people in the past that have gone through exactly what you're going through, and we can see how God responded to their circumstance, how they responded to the circumstance, how God provided them consolation and comfort, and how that He will provide you consolation and comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort." He is a God that gives us consolation. He is a God that gives us comfort. And he went on in verse 4 and says, "Who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any kind of trouble." In other words, God will give you comfort, and the comfort that He gives you, He expects you to use that comfort to comfort others when they find themselves in trouble. And He says that you can comfort them with the comfort that you get from God. An amazing passage of Scripture. You know, there are people that have had similar dilemmas and difficulties in the past, just like your dilemma and your difficulty in the present. And they give us their testimony, their experience gives us help. We get comfort from the comfort that God gave them. That's what Paul said. Amen. We get comfort from the comfort that God gave them. You know, when I go through the Bible and I read about the different experiences that people have had with the Lord, I suppose a thief would receive hope and consolation and comfort by reading about the thief that got saved on the cross next to Christ. I suppose somebody who was an adulterer would go to King David and see how God dealt with David and learn that there's forgiveness in that sin. Somebody who's an embezzler who wronged people in their business might go to Zacchaeus and learn how the Lord will faithfully forgive somebody who repents of that kind of sin. Someone who is a prostitute might go and read about the story of the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with the tears of her eyes, dried them with the hair of her head, and know that they're forgiven for prostitution. When I'm confused and I'm going through a dilemma, I go to Habakkuk. I mean, Habakkuk is an icon of the Old Testament. He's an app, not on the Apple phone or the iPad, but an app of the Old Testament for times when we're confused and times when we are delusioned about our circumstance or some circumstance that we know of that we might encounter in the future. Israel was about to be destroyed, and Habakkuk was questioning in chapter 1 and chapter 2. He was questioning, "Why, God, are you letting Israel go down the drain so quick?" He was concerned about the cause of God and why the cause of God was going through all these difficulties. And not only that, but he knew that the Babylonians or the Chaldeans was going to be used to bring judgment upon Israel. And he had this question. It was confusing to him that God would use an ungodly nation to bring destruction and devastation upon Jerusalem and upon Israel. And he's questioning God. Why? Why are you going to let this happen? Why is this happening so quickly? And here in these passages of Scripture in the third chapter of Habakkuk, one of the strongest affirmations of faith in all of the Bible. You know, in those times when we are confused, disillusioned, confounded by circumstance and situations of life, we need to just simply have faith in God. So I want to read just a few. I would like to read the whole third chapter. He begins, this third chapter of Habakkuk became a song. It became a hymn in worship. It's even dedicated to a particular piece of music. And it, none of the Psalms of the Old Testament had Do-Re-Mi's attached to it. They were just simply songs. Listen, what makes a sound song sound is its words. Amen. Not its music. But there was a certain musical piece attached to this. But this became a song. And Habakkuk begins. It's a prayer. I mean, in the beginning of the chapter, he states that this is a prayer. Verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on a particular, saying to a particular instrument of music. But it was a prayer. And there's only really one petition. The petition is found in, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the petition is found in verse 2. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. But he basically says, thy will be done. Isn't that what we need to pray? Revive thy work. And if wrath is to come upon us, just don't forget to be merciful to us, God. He said in verse 2, he said, in wrath, remember your mercy. Remember your mercy. And then begins to praise God for all the wonderful things that God had done in the past, how he had delivered Israel, how he had always proven himself faithful. I thought of the third chapter of Lamentation. It may be a good verse of scripture to be used for our text. Lamentation is a funeral book. It is documenting the destruction and the demise of Jerusalem. Not only the destruction of Jerusalem, but also the demise of the temple. The desecration of the temple occurred. And the book of Lamentation, while Jerusalem was being burned, it was nothing but a heap of ashes. Here's this lamentation, this wailing, this weeping, this crying, this mourning, this funeral over Jerusalem. And in the third chapter, Jerusalem, right in the middle of it is a jewel, a gem, in verse 23, where it says, great is thy faithfulness. In the midst of whatever dilemma or delusion or destruction or devastation that comes upon your life, what Habakkuk realized and what the Lamentation writer realized, Jeremiah, is great is the faithfulness of God. Amen. Let me help you. The best way to receive strength from God is to get the attention off of the circumstance and focus upon the Creator. Amen. And that's what Habakkuk begins to do. God's faithful. He's always been faithful. He was faithful to Israel. He's always been faithful to His people. And if you're saved by the grace of God, He will be faithful unto you. Amen. He will cover you and He will be faithful unto you. Never has one fallen who is in the faithful hand of the Father. No one or nothing has ever been able to pluck them from my Father's hand, Jesus said. We're safe. And Habakkuk began to focus, get the focus off of the circumstance, off of the inability to understand, and focused upon what he didn't know, but started focusing on what he did know. Amen. Let me challenge you. Sometimes when we get to focusing on things we cannot explain and cannot understand, we are starting to drift out on shifting sand. Get out of the sandbox, my friend. Get back on the rock. And And whether you, and you know those verses, you know what Jesus said, not to build your life on the sand, but we, our minds sometimes, our lives sometimes begin to drift off of the rock, and we start living a little bit on shifting sand. And the moment you start living on shifting sand, great will be the fall of your house. The rock is God. Amen. And God is always solid. He's always faithful. And Habakkuk began to focus upon the stability of God. Listen, it was puzzling. It was perplexing to him, the things that was about to happen to Israel and how they were about to happen. But he petitions God. He says, "Thy will be done. Revive thy work. Whatever your will is, O God, I'll submit to it." Then he got to remembering and reflecting upon all that God has done. And from verse 2 all the way to verse 16, he's talking and thinking about and praying about God and how great God is and how faithful he is. How righteous he is. How holy he is. How upright he is. How good he is. Listen, God is good. God is gracious. God is merciful. He's all powerful. Listen, he has the ability to do all things. Listen, when we are sick, he is our healing. How when we are down and out, he is our hope. How when we fall, he picks us up. When we fail, he forgives us. Listen, when we lose our way, he is the way. Yes, God is a faithful God. He's always been faithful to his people, and he will be faithful to you. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning and evening, great is thy faithfulness. Habakkuk began to, he stopped focusing on self and started focusing on the Savior. He stopped focusing on the circumstance and focused on the Creator. He got his attention off of the sand and he started building again on the solid rock. Listen, God is absolute. He is absolute. He is absolute power. He is absolute might. He is an absolute deliverer. He is absolutely able to sustain you. He's able to secure you. He's able to help you. He's able to deliver you. I don't know much about life, but one thing I do know, God is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. When I need help, he is my help. When I need hope, he is my hope. How when I need strength, he is my strength. How when I'm dying, he's going to take me home. No matter what I face in this life, there's one thing that is sure, and that's the solid rock that I stand on. He is my rock. He is my Savior. He is my high tower. He is my shield. He is my buckler. He's my all in all. He's my everything. God is a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness. If there's anything the next generation needs to learn, is that the generation preceding them had realized and hoped in and believed in a faithful God. I don't know what the next generation is going to face. I don't know how severe and how bad things are going to be in the future. I have my speculations about them, and I believe they're going to get very bad. And they need to know one thing. Whoever goes through the next degree of persecution and problems, having difficulty standing on what's moral and what's right and upright, the church of the future needs to stand on the solid rock and realize that God has been faithful to the church in the past, and he'll be faithful to the church in the future. Amen. Hold on to God. No matter what. If everything is lost and everything leaves you, hang on to God. Verse 16, Habakkuk, his stomach was tied in knots. Have you ever had been physically sick over a circumstance? Have you ever had such fear to grip you that it gripped your very gut? I mean, just gripped you in the very core of your flesh? You know, you can be strong and still have concerns. You can have a strong faith and still have a fearful flesh. Come on now. When he realized, when he heard of all that was going to happen, when he realized what was going down, when he understood what God was about to do, I mean, it cut to the very core of his flesh. Now listen, what I like about Habakkuk is that he was just honest with us. And he said, yes, I'm supposed to be a strong, faithful prophet of God, but I'm scared. I'm fearful. I'm quivering. I'm shaking. I'm nervous about this situation. Listen, we're twofold. You remember Jesus at that prayer meeting in the Garden of Gethsemane when they fell asleep and he came to them? Jesus did, and he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. Listen, the outward man, it may be perishing day by day, but the inner man can be renewed day by day. The outer man can be going down, the inner man can be going up. The outer man can be weakening, but the inner man can be getting strength and getting stronger. Y'all, you believe that, don't you? The internal strength we need comes from our souls being stable and secure because of who God is. I'm afraid too many times we put confidence in our church, or confidence in our singing, or confidence in our Sunday school teachers, confidence in our deacons, confidence in our pastors, confidence in the preachers, confidence in our forefathers. Listen, you better have confidence in God. God is the one we need to be confident of. God is the one that's always faithful. Friends will fail you. Family may forsake you. Your church may do things that you disapprove of. There may be things that happen in life because of man, and man will fail you. But God will never fail you. He's always been faithful, and He always will be faithful. Amen. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. Have you ever wanted rest in the day of trouble? Does God give that? Do you believe that one who was writing the book of Lamentation, who had gone through in the previous verses talking about the destruction and the terrible things that he was going through and experiencing, and yet when he cried out, great is thy faithfulness, don't you know that there was a rest that came to that writer's soul and came to the people of God when they needed it most? And I still believe that that rest and that peace that we need when we need it will come from God. He won't let you down. The moment you need Him, He'll show up. He's always showed up on time. He's on time every time. Amen? Yes. He said that I might have this rest when He comes upon, when He cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with His troops. Verse 17 and 18 is my primary, and 19 is my primary text. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Listen to this. If you have this, you need to mark this in your Bible. We're talking about some personal things, aren't we? We're talking about losing all of our substance. We're talking about not having anything to eat. We're talking about what provides us nutrition. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. We're talking about losing our employment. We're talking about losing our job. We're talking about losing our income. We're talking about not having anything. We're not talking just about living from paycheck to paycheck. We're talking about almost being a beggar. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, whether it blossoms because of some economic calamity or some kind of personal cause or concerns or difficulties, or whether you're disabled, or whether it's not just some economic crash that comes upon us or we bring upon ourselves, but because of maybe God bringing some kind of economic calamity into our lives, though the fig tree doesn't bloom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the oil shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. Who supplies your daily needs? You know, sometimes we go through financial strain so God can show Himself faithful. Sometimes we go through tragedy so God can show Himself faithful. Sometimes we go through dilemmas and complications and problems and trials so God can show Himself faithful. But the praise of this prophet, the heart of this prophet, I mean, let's just put it in perspective, okay? He knew that he was about to lose his home. He was about to lose his family. He was about to lose his country. He was about to lose his city. He was about to see the death of his friends and his loved ones. Maybe even some of his family was going to perish in the invasion of these troops. He knew there was going to be great and terrible loss about to come upon him. But then he makes this resolution. That's what we need to do. We need to be resolved to be faithful no matter what. Because God is always faithful to us. Notice what he said. I mean, he makes this resolution. No matter what happens, if the fig tree stops, if I don't have anything to eat, there's nothing in the field to eat, if all of the land is destroyed, if there's some kind of atomic calamity that comes upon our nation, upon our lives, upon this world, no matter what, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. See, he had been reviewing and rehearsing God's faithfulness to him, and then he makes this resolution, I'm going to be faithful to God. People, we need to be faithful to God. Amen. Faithful to God. He says, and there shall be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. See, there's the source of our joy in being delivered, in being saved. Amen? Having eternal life. One of the reasons, Brother JT, I quote that 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of St. John. About the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. One of the reasons I quote that verse so much is because when you look at what Jesus said and what the New Testament teaches and what the Old Testament teaches, you cannot get away from the fact that salvation is subjective. You feel it. You experience it deep down in your soul and in your life. Listen, if you've never come beneath the crimson flow and experienced the eternal salvation that's in God, if there's not something deep inside of you that was changed, you don't know about deliverance. You don't know about salvation. And at the heart and at the very core and root of our joy, it is that we know deep inside of us that we have been born from above. That we're on our way to heaven. That we're a child of God and we can rejoice no matter what. Amen? We can rejoice. God is going to take care of us. I mean, when you start studying this book, I mean, there was a lot of interrogation that was going on by Habakkuk to God, but his interrogation, his question ended up in an explanation point. He had a lot of fears, but it ended in faith. He had a lot of terror, but it ended in trusting. He went through a great valley, but he ended up on the mountaintop, praise God. He had a lot of worry and concern, but this worry and concern that he had, it was transformed into worship and praise. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Help me to have the feet of a deer where I can just leap over the problems of life. I mean, that's what he says in the next verse. He says, the Lord God is my strength and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, like a gazelle. Have you ever felt like you just leap through life in the joy of the Lord? I watched a deer jump over the fence over here just a few weeks back when I was in my office with great ease. He just, hard to catch. Why? Because you got the strength and the sure-footedness. You have the strength to overcome the obstacles that are before you. You know why you have that strength and that stability and that strength? Because our strength comes from who? What did it say in that verse? Because God gives us strength. We realize that our strength is made, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Many times our weakness is God's strength. Amen? And so he talks about having deer's He's not talking about actually literally having the ability to jump high. He's talking about his attitude. He's talking about his disposition. He's talking about his joy. He's talking about the happiness despite the difficulties and complications and circumstances. He goes on and talks about he's just going to walk on the high places. Notice what it says in this verse. Give me the feet of deer. And he said that he will make me to walk upon mine high places. We need to walk on the high places. We need to have hope. We need to have faith. We need to have charity. We need to have those spiritual things that help us go through the dilemmas and the destructions and complications of this life. Undoubtedly, in verse 16, he was shaking, he was trembling, but he was not shattered. There are times in our life where we're shaken, but we're not shattered. Sometimes when we're trembling, but we're tormented, but we're not undone because the Lord is with us. He's strengthening us. He's giving us help. He is our strength. Amen? Amen? He is our strength. And though there's a great obstacle there and there's great trouble there, we have the swiftness of deers to run from it. We have the agility to jump over and leap over all the complications and the problems of life because God is our strength. And He enables us to dwell in the high places. The high places to know that there's a place of safety. It was down in the valley where the danger was, where the terror was, where the animals, the wolves and bears and those that would destroy the deer, they would bring devastation upon them. But up in the high places, there was a place of safety and a place of comfort. Listen, we need to exalt the Lord. We need to put our hearts in the right place. We need to be in the places where God helps us to stay in the high places. Church is one of those places. Being in the family of God is one of those places. Being saved and in the Lord's church. Being around God's people is one of those high places. Having good friends that love the Lord and can pray with you and pray for you and love the Lord God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Having a family that loves the Lord, they can be high places for you. Amen? So he made this resolution. And he talked about a joy. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm trying to close. Some of the properties of the joy of God. First of all, it's supernatural joy. Y'all know about supernatural joy? This joy is supernatural joy. Jesus said, my joy I give unto you. He wanted our joy full. It's a real joy. It's a joy that the world can neither give you nor take away from you. What God gives, the world cannot destroy. We overcome the world, don't we? With what God gives us, we're overcomers of the world by faith. Amen? Even by our faith. It's an unspeakable joy. It's full of glory. It's an everlasting joy. It's a personal joy. You must have it for yourself. There must be a personal application of it. There must be a joy that comes through the pardoning of sin and the peace of God and salvation. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a joy that he gets from being saved, being a child of God. Do you have joy in that today? I sure do. Listen, there's a variety of circumstances that cause us to maybe be concerned, perplexed, frustrated, and worried. But God is faithful. Habakkuk is one of those people we migrate to. There's many other. There's 66 books full of examples of people delivered from impossible things. Amen. we have example after example after example after example. But I migrate to Habakkuk and I want to be like him, right? I want to have his kind of resolution. I want to have his kind of attitude towards circumstances and situations of life. I believe that God is a God of comfort. He's comforted others. I believe he'll comfort you. He's blessed others. I believe he'll bless you. He's helped others in the past. I believe he'll help you. He delivered others from the past with salvation, and he will deliver you. All we need many times is just the Lord to show up in our lives. And maybe that's what it was in verse 16. You know, there's two interpretations of verse 16. Some think that he was fearful and he was scared and he was trembling because of the fearful and frightful circumstances of the Babylonian captivity. Some think, because it says, "And I heard," that because God began to speak to him and he moved into the presence of God and into the glory of God, he started getting happy. He started shaking. I mean, it just, have you ever been in the presence of God and it affect your flesh? Some believe, and there's two interpretations of this, some believe verse 16 that he got into the presence of God and it was just, I mean, he was just like, you know, it was affecting him physically. The point is this. Sometimes we look to natural things to help us with supernatural problems. Stop! If you have a supernatural problem, you need a supernatural solution. Amen. And that's found in God. Quit using natural resources when there's supernatural resources available. Amen? Yeah. The only place you can find rock solid information is on the rock of salvation. When you need joy, Jesus is the fullness of joy. When you need peace, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. When you need deliverance, He is the captain of salvation. He will free you from your bondage. When you need healing, He can heal you from all of your diseases. When you need guidance, He is the great shepherd. And He guides His people. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Amen. And He still guides them today. When you need provision, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He will supply all of your needs according to the riches of His glory. When you need power, just look to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And He will give you power to get through this life. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. No matter what, if I lose all that I have, lose my home, my family, my city, my country, my possessions, if I lose it all, I'm still going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. It reminds you of Paul in Philippians. Let's get a song here. Doesn't it remind you of Paul in Philippians? He had a firm faith, didn't he? He had a sure faith. He was in that prison. He was incarcerated. And he wrote back to the people of Philippi and he says, "Rejoice." I say rejoice. Just keep rejoicing. We can rejoice no matter what the circumstance is. Amen. Keep your head lifted high. Keep your heart centered on God. Make Him your hope and your strength. Make Him your sureness and your security. And He will keep you safe. You'll develop deer's feet. Wednesday night we've been talking about the comparison between animals and men and their attitudes and situations and circumstances, and just He'll give you the ability to leap over the problems, to dwell in the high places of life. Have you ever known anybody that dwelt there? Lived their life on the high place? He'll help you to do that. If you're here today and you've never been saved, today's the day of salvation. Stand your feet at this time. There's somebody here. You need help. You need hope. You need deliverance. You need the heart of Habakkuk. If you don't have the hope of Habakkuk, I pray that you'll get it. Amen. Powerful verses. Though the fig tree doesn't produce any fruit, though there's no animals in the field, if I lose everything in life, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. He'll give me strength. He'll give me feet like deer to leap over the circumstances of life. I will dwell in the high places with the Lord. I pray that we'll dwell in the high place today, that we might sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let us sing.
Page 4.
Oh, what great is Thy faithfulness. I can see that old prophet. He's out there on the outskirts of Jerusalem watching his beloved city go up in smoke, sitting with his legs crossed, putting sand on his head, ripping his garment. Bible says he was just weeping, weeping, so heavy of a burden. Flesh just totally distraught over all that's just taken place. And lift up his voice and say, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." He'll be faithful to you. Just like he was faithful to them, he will be faithful to you. God bless you. I appreciate you listening to me today.